For the rest of us, if you would turn into Matthew chapter 5 with me. Matthew chapter 5. We will be looking at verses 43 through 48 to begin our message. To repeat what I said last weekend, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, in the day and age that we live in, is the most neglected person of the Trinity. Amen. The Trinity consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but many churches neglect the function of the Holy Spirit. Don't even teach how the Holy Spirit functions. And so people walk in ignorance of how the Holy Spirit functions and never learn that God ordained as believers that we be powerful instead of pitiful. Amen. So we're going to talk about the power of God today. The title of my message is Baptized with Fire. Baptized with Fire. God led me to bring this message, partly because it's Pentecost weekend. Some 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit came. We will be reading that passage later in the message. And people were empowered. Without being baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will not function in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit come with being baptized with the Holy Spirit. All right? Let's pray together before I just haul off and start preaching. I can't hardly contain myself. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for me to speak this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory, yours alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reinhard Bonnke once said, many believers in the U.S. think that the Holy Spirit's power is an option. Christians in Africa, where miracles are frequent, don't have that attitude, said Reinhard Bonnke. Now, having been to Africa and in several nations over a period of four trips, I can say clearly that Reinhard Bonnke was speaking the truth. And if you know who Reinhard Bonnke is, he has ministered for years in Africa and then left there and came to the United States. The Holy Spirit led him to come here and begin ministering, because we are so bad off spiritually in the United States of America. Now, that may shock you that I said that, but I stand on that. This is somewhat a hard message for me to preach, because I preached a form of this message. It occurred to me this morning, actually, when I was sitting in my office in the early morning hours. It occurred to me that the last time I preached a form of this message, it wasn't exact, but a form of this message, August would be 14 years ago. And I had a flashback when I was sitting at my desk in my office praying and going over this stuff, making any adjustments that God would have me to make. And I had a flashback and realized the last time I preached a form of this message, almost 14 years ago, was the last service my mom was in. And she came in the altar call, and I laid my hands on her, and she was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it was the last service she was in. Because the following week, she had biopsy surgery, found out she was terminal with cancer, and from that point went downhill, and less than 3 months later, 2.5 months later, she went to be with the Lord. But the last time I preached this message, or a form of it, my mom came up and stood right over here The whole front of the building was full of people that wanted more of God. And my mom was in that group. And I had a flashback this morning, sitting in my desk chair in my office, of putting my hand on my mother.
Amen.
And speaking the fire of God.
Praise God.
Praise.
Yes, Lord.
So this is extra special and extra hard. Okay, now that we got that out of the way. The first major point we need to look at when we start talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit is that it is a must that we love God's people. It is an absolute must, first and foremost, that we love God's people. I have seen a lot of people that on the outside appears they want the power of God. I'm reminded of a story in the Word of God, and I don't want to take the time to turn to it, but there was a young man that wanted to pay for the power of God. Do you remember? See, his motivation was wrong. He saw the power. And he wanted that because he wanted recognition. See, his motive was wrong. So when we approach God for His power, we need to make sure that our hearts are right, that it's not just so we can make a name for ourselves, but that we can minister to God's people and bring healing, like Mary.
Yes.
Amen.
And carry healing to the people that need healing, and operate in the gifts of the Spirit, not for our glory, but for God's glory, that His kingdom continues to grow in preparation for Christ's return, which, by the way, I don't believe is far away.
That's right.
So I ask you, what is your motivation in your Christian walk? Because if it doesn't come out of it, if it's not birthed out of a love for God's people, then your motivation is wrong. Any other motivation is the wrong answer. We have got to get self out of it and operate in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Matthew 5, 43 through 48 says this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even the tax collectors doing that? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, perfect in loving people. Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That is not easy to do. Let's be honest. That is a hard thing to do. To pray for people that persecute you. Especially if you've been hurt deep. How many of you know the people that you love most, the people that are closest to you, the people that are in your inner circle, when those people hurt you, when they put the knife in your back, whether it's intentional or not intentional, those are the ones that hurt the worst. And they're the hardest ones to pray for. Because you're hurt. Right? So we got to overcome that. It's the starting point to being powerful in God. That's the starting point. That we get this love relationship with Him, correct? And then these relationships, out of the right relationship with God, become right.
Amen.
You So it is an absolute must that we love God's people. Second major idea. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. When I or anyone else lays hands on a person that is seeking more of God and is desiring to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the person that is laying the hands on the person, if that's what they're doing, is not the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. You need to keep that straight. Don't ever say that somebody baptized me with the Holy Spirit, because if you're baptized into the Holy Spirit, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you were baptized by Jesus. Now you can say John or Wayne or Jake or whoever baptized me with water, and that would be correct. They water baptized me. But Jesus is the only baptizer with the Holy Spirit. So we got to have that straight. Pastor Wayne needs to give you a scripture. Matthew 3:11. We prove everything with scripture, right? John is speaking in Matthew 3. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit and fire. Thank God that we have this great, wonderful power available to us, because without the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no way that we can fulfill God's purpose for our lives. We can't do it. We cannot fulfill the full purpose that God has for our lives unless we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you can't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit if you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Number three, third major point. We must realize we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be powerful. Acts 1:4-8. Acts 1:4-8. Beginning to read in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So from this passage, we can grasp the whole idea that we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fully function in God's will. How do we know that? Because of Jesus' command. Do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem. Why did he say that? Because they were not going to be equipped to go out into the world where all the wolves are at until they were equipped by the Holy Spirit. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. If you read in the King James, it says, tarry. For For the gift my Father promised. That gift is the third person of the Trinity. It's the Trinity. It's the hope of the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Ghost, if you choose to call him the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The word that is translated power in the English language, the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis. And dunamis is a Greek word that we get the word dynamite from. Dunamis is an explosive, unharnessed power that goes forth. That kind of power is what we're talking about, that you get when you get full of the Holy Ghost. Ooh. I can't hardly contain myself.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
There are two things that wind me up. Preaching salvation and preaching on the Holy Ghost, man. Either one of them. And I get wound. Because they're both very, very, very dear to my heart. God called me to be a pastor, but he also made me an evangelist. And when I get preaching these things, I can't contain myself. So you're just going to have to bear with it today. That's right. So you receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Please understand what I'm talking about here. Every one of us is baptized into the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ. That's what makes us born again. What I'm saying to you is that's not it. There's more than that. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is the next thing. There are a lot of people that are baptized into the Holy Spirit, and they're saved. They're as saved as they're ever going to get. But there are a lot of people that haven't been walking in the power of God because they never got baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's a distinct difference. I'm showing you in the Word. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Do you love God's people?
Yes.
Do you want to have the power to minister to God's people?
Yes.
Because you love them. Because that's where it's at. So we must realize we need the baptism to be baptized with the Holy Spirit to truly be powerful in the Spirit. Number four, fourth major idea. We must ask to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It does not happen automatic. We must ask to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Remember, you have not because you ask not. Now already, I guarantee you, there are people here that are having a hard time with this because they've not been taught this. I guarantee you there are. But I've been living in this for 38 years. I got saved 38 years ago, radically saved. I got delivered from a life of drugs and alcohol and a lot of other things that I'm not proud of. And 7 days after I was born again, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how many of you understand automobiles and mechanical things, but I was already wound when I got saved. But after what happened to me 7 days later, it was like somebody strapped a couple of turbos on me. Not just one, dual turbos. I was and have been turbocharged ever since.
Hallelujah.
It was two separate, distinct things that happened to me. How'd that happen? Well, the pastor that led me to Christ, my spiritual father, sat me down and talked to me a week after I got born again and explained this all to me. And I was like, okay, I didn't know anything. I was like, okay, well, if that's what God wants, I want it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have any ambitions. I just, he prayed with me and boom! I went home and laid on the floor for a while in front of my wife and was crying and laughing and speaking in tongues. And she was like, man, I've been praying for him, but did I ask for this? Obviously, I needed to get a little balance with all that. At that point, I was just a very excited new believer. Needed to get some balance. I have a little bit more balance now. You got to understand, I was chasing people down the street, tackling them, they was trying to get away without accepting Jesus. 6'5" guy chasing people in blue coveralls and a King's Corner auto repair hat, chasing them down Main Street. You should have seen it. It was a sight to behold. And I used to be able to run pretty fast. I'm telling you, I'm not lying. I used to be able to run pretty stinking fast. And you know, when you got a person's car up on the hoist, they can't drive away. Not an option. See, I was full of the Holy Ghost, and I had all of the go, but I didn't have any wisdom with it. That comes with time, guys. But I am every bit as excited right now as I was then, because it's real. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not something I conjured up. It's something that's real. I will never quit. I will go like the Energizer Bunny until God takes me home.
Amen. Yes, God.
Because I was so lost, and Jesus Christ set me free. Yes. So I want to tell everybody I can, that someday in glory, look behind me and see a train of people that have come to Christ. It don't get any better than that. God having His will in our lives, reaching lost people. We have a young lady here today that met with my wife and I this week, and she gave her life to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I've been blind all week. So awesome, because it's a beginning to something wonderful. To stand up here and cry. Oh well. I love y'all. You love me too, right?
Yeah.
You can deal with it. Luke 11, verses 9 through 13. Remember, the point I was on here is that we must ask to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's not going to just happen. You have to ask. Now I'm going to show you in the Word. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to the children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Amen.
God's Word. Not thus says when. It's God's Word.
Amen.
I've had people over the years, when I've talked to people about this, get that narrow-eyed look because it's something they hadn't heard before. And you know then that we'll call it a debate instead of an argument. starts. Okay? I've had many people over the years ask, well, how do you know when you ask for the Holy Ghost that some other spirit's not going to slip in? That sounds funny, but I'm serious. I've had several people ask me that question. And here's where I take them. Because the answer's right here in what I just read to you. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? You realize the fish, man, that's a symbol for Christianity, right? There's some symbolism here. What is a serpent a symbol of? Hello? God's telling us in His Word, yeah, He's not. The devil's not going to get to slip you a Mickey because I'm not going to let it happen. If you're asking for me, it's me you're going to get. If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then know how to give good gifts, though you are evil, to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Don't need to worry. As long as we're seeking God's face and seeking Him and asking Him to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, we don't need to worry about some evil spirit slipping in the midst of that. Because God's not going to let happen. He's given us what we're asking for. Fifth major point when we're on a roll. Pentecost was when the baptism with the Holy Spirit initially came. Pentecost. And it was recorded in the second chapter of Acts, if you want to turn there with me. Acts 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 specifically. Beginning to read in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, pay attention to this now, they were all together in one place. See, we need to be gathered together like we are. Can I say something a minute? People that have been walking in fear for the last 15 months because of COVID. Jesus Christ is greater than COVID.
Amen.
It's time to come back together. Because either Jesus is the Jesus of this book, or He's not. And either what He says is true, or it's not.
It's true.
So we need to get back together and grow together because God's got some work for us to do.
Amen.
Pitter patter, let's get at it. So when Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, look at your neighbor and say, suddenly. When you see suddenly in Scripture, something cool is about to happen. That's why I wanted to focus on that a minute. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now that is some pretty awesome stuff right there. See, one time, I had a cold wind blowing in my house, and it wasn't God. It was demonic. And the windows were all closed, and the curtains were blowing. That was the night before I got born again. So a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Can you imagine seeing fire on people's heads, popping up on people's heads? How about right now? What if God decided to pour out His Spirit in that way and around you and on your head? People started getting flames on their head.
Praise God.
Do you think it would get people's attention?
Amen.
How many people do you think after the word got out would be flooding here to try to get in the doors of this church?
That's right.
Somebody said you have to beat us. So they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And here we go. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What did I tell you about the gifts of the Spirit? Need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit for the gifts to flow. Did I tell you that? Here it is. When they got baptized with the Holy Spirit, the gifts began to flow. The one that began to flow right there, the evidence right in the beginning was they began to speak in tongues as they were given utterance, as the Spirit gave them utterance. People have been trying to talk tongues away for a long time. The devil hates it when people speak in tongues. You want to know why? Because he can't mess with it. How many times have you been praying with your mind? Okay, and we do need to pray with our mind, right? Paul said that. He said, sometimes I pray with my mind, sometimes I pray with my spirit. How many times when you're praying with your mind has the devil messed with you and you get all kinds of distraction and you're not able to focus on prayer? Come on, raise your hand. It's church. Well, see, when we are praying in the Spirit, which is what speaking in tongues is, when we are praying in the Spirit, we don't know, unless God gives us the interpretation as we're speaking, and that could happen, but that's rare. We don't know what we're praying. It's our spirit interceding with God according to Scripture. And so we don't know what we're praying, so how's the devil going to mess with that? He hates it. The devil absolutely hates it. I have prayed with countless people over the last 38 years that were demon-possessed. And I'm telling you right now, every time when I left the English language and began to speak in tongues, utterances of the Spirit, every time the devil would manifest because he's trying to scare you. I don't scare her anything. Because I know it's settled in my heart what it says in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's settled in my heart. So the gifts flow. The gifts of the Spirit flow when we get baptized with the Holy Spirit. Number 6, the result of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Power. Acts 8, verses 4 through 17. 8th chapter of Acts, verses 4 through 17. How many of you that are here today, this is the first time you've sat under this teaching? Be honest. It's the first time you've heard this. Quite a few. See, that in itself is proof enough that the Holy Spirit and the function of the Holy Spirit has been neglected for a long time in the churches. Acts 8, 4 through 17. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of Jesus. If you have any questions about what I'm teaching you, it's right here. They are two separate things. Getting born again and being baptized into the Holy Spirit is a separate thing from being baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit. It's right here in plain sight. It's been neglected for years. Because the Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They had to ask. First, they had to hear. Oh, wow. Yeah. I need power. Power to fulfill God's call on my life. First, they had to hear, because we got to understand we need that. And then the next thing is we got to ask. It's got to come in that order. I have never in the 38 years I've been walking with Christ and walking in this full gospel walk that I've been in, I have never one time seen anyone get baptized with the Holy Spirit that didn't ask. Not one time have I seen anybody get baptized with the Holy Spirit that didn't ask. It's a must that people ask. The example we see here, they preached, told them, they received the word, they asked, and then they were prayed for, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the way it went down. I've also had a lot of people, well-meaning people, just didn't understand. They were ignorant of it, hadn't been taught. Say, well, that was then, this is now, that went away. That was a special dispensation then, that went away. And everyone that has told me that, I've said, okay, show me that in the Word. You show me where it says in the Word it went away. Can't do it. It's not there. I've searched this book from cover to cover for 38 years, and there is nobody can talk me out of what I know is real, and all of the gifts of the Spirit, that did not go away. It has not gone away. And we're coming into a season right now where the body of Christ better be empowered, because it's not any joke the season we're heading into.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Actually, where we're already at.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going to get wilder, trust me. I've been praying for a long time, Lord, whatever it takes, I want an awakening in this nation. Whatever it takes, Lord. Just want an awakening so people come to you. We need, literally, a reformation. We need a third reformation. And I believe it's coming. Thank God for that. Amen? If it means we got to go through some hard stuff to get that reformation, so be it. Because our God is walking every step of it with His people. And He's going to. Christians have been lulled to sleep in this nation and been led to believe that if you're a believer, that nothing bad's going to happen to you. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. That doctrine has hurt a lot of people. Well, if you had enough faith, that would matter. I've seen that destroy people. Wrong. When people cross over to having faith in their faith instead of having faith in God, we've got a problem. Am I making sense? First Corinthians 3 verse 16 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" We're born again believers, then we are the temple of God's Spirit. This temple houses God's Spirit from the moment we are born again. But again, there's more. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Remember the first passage we read? With baptized with fire. Which is what I call this message. Baptized with fire. See, that's pretty awesome because fire can be a very destructive force. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So the fire of God destroys that which it needs to destroy. But the fire of God also purifies. The fire of God is a purifying fire. So when the fire of God comes on us in that way, it will burn the dross out of our lives. Or the chaff, if you want to use that analogy. The fire of God burns the chaff out of our lives. So can you see that it's important as believers, if we want to be totally productive and fulfill God's will for our lives, that we first and foremost get saved, born again, but then follow through and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? I've in the last 35 minutes done my best in 35 minutes to show you this from the Word of God. Now here's the question I have. How many of you, With your motives correct. If your motive being to be used by God to do what He's called us to do, reach the lost. To operate in the gifts. Pray for people and minister healing to people that are hurting. Because we love them. Not just because we want to see a miracle. It's cool seeing a miracle. Don't get me wrong. That's pretty awesome. But again, it's got to come out of that love. So let me ask you this. How many of you want more of God, which includes more of God being baptized with the Holy Spirit? If that's you, find your way up to the front here. I'm going to pray over you. It's not something mysterious. More of God. More of God. Baptized with fire. Thank you, Jesus. Baptized with fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm not going to hurry this. I'm listening to the Spirit before we go ahead with this. Somebody here right now really has listened and wants to come up here, but you're held back by the legalistic teaching that you have been taught all of your life in church. And God says, let me be God. Let me be God. I don't know if that speaks to anybody or whether you're going to admit it, but I know that's what God spoke to me. I know that's what He spoke to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Let your fire fall. Oh, Lord, we welcome your Spirit. We welcome your Spirit, Lord. Look at your people standing before you that are hungry, Lord. We want more of you. Those of you who are standing up here, if you agree with what I say, just repeat on me. Repeat after me. This is not some magical prayer. I'm just leading you in a prayer, of asking. Just like I would if I was leading you to Christ. Okay? Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm here because I want more of you.
I'm here because I want more of you.
I'm asking you, Lord Jesus.
I'm asking you, Lord Jesus.
To baptize me with your Holy Spirit and fire.
To baptize me with your Holy Spirit and fire.
Right now, Lord, I receive it.
Right now, Lord, I receive it.
Lord, fill me with your Spirit to overflowing. Anoint me with your gifts of the Spirit. And empower me to go forth into this world in victory and power, that you will be glorified. That, Lord, people will come to you. That people will be healed. That there will be miraculous signs and wonders that begin to flow through my life. From this day forward. Because you are my God.
You are my
Redeemer. You are my baptizer, Jesus. And I receive from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're praying sometime or worshiping and your tongue starts doing things you're not used to, don't stop it. Don't bite your tongue. Just let it flow and let the Spirit lead. God's not going to pry your mouth open. Okay? He's not going to pry your mouth open with a crowbar. But just let the Spirit flow in you and flow through you. Okay? And it'll come. Trust me. It'll come. But tongues is one gift of the Spirit. I don't want to over-focus on that. There are many gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, whatever gifts it is that God's wanting to work through you, those will begin to manifest. All right? Are we making sense? Everybody's on board?
Yes.
We're all going to be lean, mean, devil-wrecking machines, right? From this day forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. All right. Here we go. And by the way, if you have questions as you're walking in this new anointing, don't hesitate to call me. I'll make time. I did it that way because we don't necessarily have to lay hands on people. It can happen either way. And the Lord did not. I would have laid hands on every person up here. It would have taken some time, but I would have done that. But I didn't feel the Lord needing me to do that. Here's one of the reasons. I don't want anybody to have their eyes on me. I don't. I'd just soon be invisible. I want people, their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
How do you close a service like that? How do you do that? All right, well, praise God. I'm thankful. Happy Pentecost weekend. For those of you who just were baptized with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, praise God, your life will just change as days go by, that you will change and change and change. Trust me, I'm speaking from experience. I've lived it. All right, let's all stand. Father, we thank you for the mighty, mighty works that you are doing in our midst and in each one of us as the temples of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for every person that responded to this altar call and took a stand and opened their hearts to you and asked you specifically to baptize them, Jesus, with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you promised that when we ask, you do it. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you for the empowerment of the gifts so that, Lord, we can expand your kingdom under your direction through the Holy Spirit. Father, now as we leave this place, we are entering our mission field when we go out these doors. I pray in Jesus' name you will send people into our path that need to hear about you, that you will send people into our path that need prayer for healing, and that you will give us the unction of your Spirit when it is right for us to pray over people and believe with them for healings and miracles and for those that are seeking after Jesus. Lord, thank you for being our God. We give you all praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.